It's really a pleasure to be here. An opportunity to visit with producers is really a treat for me. I spend a lot of time day in, day out, talking with a lot of meat processors and guys in foreign markets. But really, even the opportunity to visit with you all is really a treat, to understand what you're doing and what opportunities that are out there in front of you. Today, I'd like to talk about some of those opportunities from an international perspective. One of the things I think we need to think about is, what is globalization? What does it really mean to you? Maybe some of you think it's a bunch of giant companies like these that have holdings in foreign countries. Sometimes they have foreign businesses have holdings here in the United States. Maybe some of you think it's the big pharmaceutical companies. It's interesting to me, and Travis, quote me if I'm wrong here, but you know, a lot of these compounds that you use in your animals are made in foreign markets. I think it's even ironic that in Europe, where hormones are banned, that's where they're actually, where a lot of them are actually manufactured. So we can see that right now, that in globalization, it starts to look like a lot of different things. It may be that Walmart is in China, or that the U.S. Meat Export Federation is promoting beef in the Middle East. It may be what Travis was just talking about, sustainability of beef, and how we do that on a global basis. Maybe it's a bunch of this talk that we hear in the newspapers about free trade agreements. And what do those things all mean? Do we agree or disagree with those things? That's a very political area. So how does politics play into globalization? Closer to home for you all, I went and looked on a bunch of websites, and I found out that a lot of the breed associations say that they are international, that they are globalized. And quite frankly, we know that as America, because most of the cattle that came to America came from another country. I think the history of cattle in the U.S. actually were from the Spaniards back in the 1500s. Also, there is a sister organization to the U.S. Meat Export Federation called the USLGE. They can help you sell live cattle, semen, or embryos overseas, just as we help processors merchandise their products overseas also. Then we see headlines that says American cattlemen are finding homes on a new range, the steppes of Russia. So we know that some cattlemen are globalizing by selling their animals into foreign markets. Another piece of globalization. Maybe some of you think it's just loading up a bunch of feed, or maybe animals, putting them on a ship and sending them overseas. Well, all of those things are globalization. The fact of the matter is, it is doing business, in my mind anyhow, it is doing business where you can gain a benefit by trading in the best market you possibly can find. In a lot of cases, that's going to be outside the borders of the United States. And whether you like it or not, Travis just showed you that we are going to do that. We have to, because number one, we are one of the most efficient countries in the world today. And what we're going to see is this population continue to grow. And as he said, by 2030, we're going to have 8 billion people on Earth. By 2050, we'll be at 9 billion. I know we have a lot of students in here, and all of us old guys are going to put that burden on your shoulders. You're going to have to feed these guys. And that's the challenge that a lot of our young people in the crowd will be dealing with. Now, what are we going to deal with? What are the parameters we've got to work with? Well, let's look at GDP. GDP is the productivity of a country, how well they are able to produce. And if we look at the world today, we can see that by 2030, the GDP will be at $150 trillion. Can anybody in the crowd tell me what a trillion is? It is a number unfathomable. It's what our debt is. Microbiologists don't even measure bacteria at that level. They look at bacteria at log 10 to the ninth, which is basically about a billion. A trillion has log 10 to the 12th. That means there's a number with 12 zeros after it. We can't fathom that kind of a number, and yet that's our debt today. But that's what the GDP of the total world will do. Every 20 years, it doubles. So that means that countries are going to start growing and growing and have the availability to purchase things. That's good. Because what Travis told us was that we're going to have to find about 100% more productivity in those future years of food. Well, you still have to pay for it. And that's one of the messages that I have for you is there is value in these international markets, and you can't garner that value in a lot of different ways, both direct and indirectly. First of all, let's take a look at when we look at beef consumption on a worldwide basis next to the gross domestic product of those countries. Across the top there, you can see all of the beef-producing countries, Brazil, Australia, Canada, and us. We're big beef eaters. We also got a lot of money. The last few years, we have concentrated on the EU, Japan, Taiwan, and Korea. Their economy has grown to a stage to where they have the ability to purchase a lot of those items. But the countries we need to start focusing on are Mexico, Russia, and China, because they have the biggest gap of where we can get more dollars from them, because they have a huge population, they have the GDP, they have the money or the capability to buy, and we're relatively friendly with those countries. They're a good place for us to do business. When we look at the world today and trying to think about globalization, Travis talked about how, or some of the things we're going to have to do. And he spent a lot of time on technology. Well, I would add a few more things to that. Number one, we have to look at the countries that have arable land, because you got to have the land to use the technology to expand those things. So if we look today, and the best way to look at this chart and understand it is, look for the countries that have the biggest gap between the top of the blue bar and the green dot. They will be the people that will be supplying food to the world in the future. They have the arable land. They have the agricultural policy that allows them to do that politically. They have the land that can be used for raising crops and livestock. So you can see that'll be South America, North America, possibly the Middle East, and Oceania. I think the Middle East can be on that list. Part of why it's there today is because of India. India has a lot of capability, and they are the largest cattle producing country in the world, if you call buffalo cattle as they do. Sustainability. Well, they did somewhat of a report card on us, and it looks like the way the U.S. produces today, we're fairly sustainable. And we just saw that in the last presentation, that beef production, where the way we do it with grain feeding is fairly sustainable. So that's good news for us. It's a production practice we can continue and don't have to alter very much as it looks today. I fear and I always worry about the next study. What will the next study tell us? It's kind of like heart disease and like that. You know, every week or every other week, coffee's okay for you, and then the next week it's not. Or a beer's okay this week, and next week it's not. So you always fear you get more of that kind of studies and media attention, so you don't know what to do. It really confuses consumers. So certainly when we get reports like this, that can be confusing to you all. Travis did an excellent job explaining how technology has really advanced us. That top chart really shows what we've done over the last 50 years with technologies, and we have reduced, or we've improved crop productivity on more tons per acre. We've got more tons of beef per animal. And we are the most efficient. Personally, I challenge a lot of countries to catch up with us in our productivity and efficiency. You all should take a stand and applaud yourselves for the excellent job you've done over the last 50 years of doing that. And it's a combination of things, of technology and genetics and quality of feed and how you feed and how you mesh the feed with the genetics and how you mesh the technology with the genetics and the feed. Those are all very positive things to give us that leg up. And as we look today, we will probably be the biggest and most efficient producer out there today. Now, if you look at that chart and look up there around 2012, 2014, you can see there's a little dip. And that's where we are today. That little dip is what's happening today. We've gone through some liquidation. We're back starting a rebuilding phase. And you will see as we go out to 2018 and future, we will grow. Notice who's chasing us very closely. And that will be Brazil. The other countries on the list are there. They can be competitors to a certain degree. They just don't have the capability and resources that we do to really be a real tough competitor to us.